I would inhibit my son's genius if I gave him everything he wanted, for then he would be bored with life and would have no desire to achieve his inner wonder. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for with instant inspiration. We did our thought for the day this morning. And by the way, any of you who are listening, if the three or four items that come at you every day from me are too much, you just delete three of them and keep one. And just say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I will keep this one and let the rest go. So it's just a matter of your decision. And, of course, it could fill up your computer. It could fill up your memory bank on your email. But this stuff is so good, you wouldn't want to miss any of it, I tell you. I would inhibit my son's genius if I gave him everything he wanted, for then he would be bored with life and have no desire to achieve his own inner wisdom. Yeah. How unfortunate children are who are born in wealthy families. Really. They are born in wealthy families, and they never have to climb the ladder of understanding in themselves. Their parents give them nannies, they give them special training, they give them allowances, which are amazing for anyone else's standards. They give them cars, they give them all the things that they would have wished that they had when they were that young, but because they didn't have it, they became famous. One of the things that happens when we give our children everything that they want, they cease to do any work. Now you take the children of the multi-millionaire billionaires who are in the world over the past 30, 40 years. And you take all of these children, and there's quite a few of them, you take them maybe a couple thousand children, and just include them all. They come from wealthy families from the time that they were babies. You got to consider that. From the time that they were babies, and they were given everything by their parents. At least most of them were. And you look at these, let's just say 1,000. And you look at 1,000 youngsters born to wealth with a silver gold spoon in their mouth, and they were given everything. They didn't have to do anything special. They didn't have to do chores around the house, or maybe they did a few, but they were just given a weekly allowance or a daily allowance of some outrageous sum. And the children felt they were superior to other children because the other children didn't have the money, and thereby they lost many wonderful friendships of people who were up and coming and doing wonderful things. Number one, people who are born wealthy are in the rarity compared to people who are born to be wealthy. People who are moving toward their highest good, they're moving toward their genius, they're moving toward their ability, and they're moving toward it by their own inner motivation. These are people who establish wealth and get great benefit from them. People who are given wealth oftentimes don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to handle it. In fact, you don't know how to handle it. If you were given a great amount of money right now, you would have no idea what to do with it. Oh, I do. Yeah, nonsense. You say you do, but you really don't. There's nothing pressing you to move on and be something great in your consciousness. You don't want to walk your spiritual path. You don't want to build a great mansion. You don't want to build a skyscraper. You don't want to take care of the pollution in the world. This is the majority of society. They have no desire to do anything to benefit themselves or benefit the world should they have money. And this is true of people who have the money, that is, who are born into wealth. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't do that. I mean, my goodness, if I were born into wealth, I'd probably do the same thing. I was born into wealth, but a different kind of wealth. So the children who are born into this, they don't have to struggle. They don't have to work. Some of them, when their parents lose their money, you know, go bankrupt or something, and everything is gone, or when the parents go to prison because they have mishandled the company funds or whatever. Years ago, that was more prominent than we know because they didn't talk about it too much. The companies didn't want to say, my bookkeeper messed me up, you know. They want to keep it quiet because they want to rebuild what the bookkeeper missed so that they don't lose their stockholders and stuff like that. Well, today, everything is out in the open. There are always these people who tell everything, and the company's rebuilding itself and does a good job of it. But meanwhile, the individuals who, you know, this would happen, and they build instability in the company. Well, if you are a person, and we have read about a number of them recently, people who were born to wealth or weren't born to wealth, but they were born to an idea, to a dream. And they carry out that dream. And they are known in society as people who are untouchable. People who have principles, morals, and programs for themselves, and they are unassailable. You cannot find fault with them. In the public's eye, you can't find fault, and in the private eye, you can't find fault, because they live principle. And they're happy with their principle. They don't feel they have to violate their principle to have fun, you know. They don't feel that they have to go outside the law to do something exciting. There's plenty of exciting things within the law, if you will. But these people, they want to do that because this is how they've been trained. They're get all you can because this is the last time around, that sort of nonsense. You see, the world has all these games, and the games are created by people who want to accomplish what they want to accomplish, how they want to accomplish it, and so they create the rules to fit their needs. Now, the Murphy's Law, you've heard of that, okay? Big businesses talk about the Murphy's Law. Big industries talk about Murphy's Law, and it's a creation of a failure. It's a creation of a person or a company or whatever, let's call it a philosophy, that's just a failure philosophy. Now, why anyone in their right mind would ever promote a failure philosophy is hard to imagine. But innocent people, people who have no principles of their own, no morals of their own, buy into that. And when they buy into that, then they are limited by what they have bought into it. Now, buy into the Pollyanna philosophy, that everything is possible, that everything can be done, that it's just a matter of finding out how. It's a matter of looking at your way of doing things and saying, wow, there it is. There it is. It's wonderful. I can do that. And people do it. People do it. You look at the story, Pollyanna, as the movie has it, and you say to yourself, my gosh, she did a lot in a short time, you know, changing people's attitudes. No, she didn't change anything. She was merely true to what she had learned from her father, even with difficult circumstances. Sure, she was in a wealthy place, but there was no respect in that wealthy place. There was only manipulation. We own the town. We own this. We own that. Now you must hold yourself above everybody else. Well, she couldn't do that because she was a loving, gentle character. And in the end, she almost fell down. But she had some pretty tough things battering away at her. But in the end, she found that her principles held true for her. In fact, the whole town came out for her. And that was an expected thing because she just was a bundle of positive things. Everything good in that town that happened while she was there, she somehow had been the instrument for it. Now, if that's the case, think what value and beautiful can come from here. If parents who are wealthy would take their children and have them analyzed, so to speak, to find out what their direction is, what their interests are, and then face them with all the possibilities of acting in that interest. When I searched my son, I looked high and low for something that would interest him, because he was very brilliant, I knew that. He was very perfect, very honest. He had all the traits, but he had no aspiration, because he had nothing that turned him on. And I took him skiing, I took him boating, I took him out to the parks, I took him shooting, I took him everywhere to do every possible thing I could think of. And then his teacher took him up flying, and wow, he bit. And I said, wow, I'm biting too. So we went to the airport and trained, and he prepared himself. And I was behind him all the way, encouraging him to read and prepare himself to be the best pilot he could be. And it didn't take too much encouragement because he had gotten the flying bug. And he went on to be a great pilot, not because of me, but because of what he did inside of himself. I tried to encourage him to be a sailor, and he is okay as a sailor, but he doesn't care about it, you know. Until he found what he cared about, he didn't express his genius in a more full way. Now, who would have ever dreamed that this kid who was struggling through school would design engines, would design airplanes, and sell them around the world, selling airplanes that took a very astute awareness of aerodynamics and selling engines that are so precisely designed that there's almost completely no pollution. I mean, this is the miracle that the highest grade engineers would like to achieve, but they can't achieve it because they're not listening within. And Mark is so stupid, he has to listen within to get the answers. And he always gets the right answer. He listens within because he's not full of book learning that tells him certain things can't be done, certain things won't work this way and won't work that way. He doesn't know that. And he doesn't want to know it. He doesn't read the publications that tell about the failures. He only listens to his heart and knows about the successes. Now, I'm not trying to toot his horn, but this is how he turned out. And we had our struggling as we were coming up. We had working for newspapers and magazines, and we didn't always have a lot of money, but we always had a lot of love, and we always had a lot of a caring about one another. And in all that, he came through as a genius. And he's doing beautifully. Now, could every child do that? And the answer is yes. If the parents have enough care about their children individually to find out what motivates them and then steer them in the direction of what motivates them to accomplish their good. You don't tell you got to be this, got to be that. But hey, look at this here stuff. Isn't this interesting, you know? And next thing you know, and show your interest by going with him to or her to wherever it is that they could be learning what they want to learn. Sonia Haney. You ever hear that name? She's one of the world-class skaters before the Olympics. And I don't mean the original Olympics, but she was just fantastic. And she was, I think, from Canada, and she was just an excellent skater. Oh, she had grace and charm, and she had imagination and stability. She had, she could skate, and she was well-built too, yeah, and skate, and she had to be to keep warm. And skate, and skate, and skate, and skate. She just went on skating, and she was so wonderful about it. But she loved it, and she made a career out of it, and she made a mint out of it. And Johnny did the same thing. Johnny just loved the role that he was given, and he loved to swim, he loved to climb, he loved to run around naked, he loved to do all these things. And he got a job in the movies doing that. And he became one of our great Tarzans, Johnny Weissmuller, you know? I mean, Weissmuller, where did you hear a name like that? Well, Humperdinck and all the rest of them came later using their own names and giving blessings to their name. So many movie stars try to shorten them so they can be remembered. Well, I tell you, if you got long, outrageous names, they're remembered too. But again, it's not your name. It's you. I want that star, that one who acted in Tarzan, that one who was this here. And you don't need to know the name. You know the person. And the studios know who is the drawing card, too. But find what turns your heart on. Find what is exciting for you. And then go for it. And don't ever complain that you shouldn't be where you are. Because you are where you are by your choice, doing what you want by your choice. And you're being a success or a failure by your choice, and you're having the time of your life, or you're bored to tears by your choice. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? I would inhibit my son's genius if I gave him everything he wanted, for then he would be bored with life and have no desire to achieve his inner wonder. Isn't it something? We can achieve our inner wonder. We can achieve our inner wonder, but go find out what it is. Listen within. Listen within. And when you listen within, the voice will always speak to you. But that's dumb. That's dumb to listen within and not act upon it. Because then you're just filled with all your beautiful ideas and you do nothing about it. But if the voice within says, go do it, go and do it, you might not succeed because you haven't believed as completely as you could. But like it's not, you might succeed. And you might succeed big and wonderful and glorious. So, I'm not going to inhibit anyone's choice of going within and finding that inner wonder, which is the magic that makes life the most exciting thing on earth. Well, my dear friends, I love you. 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 I love you.